This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm your host, Corey Fleck, and I thank everybody for taking some time out of their weekend, whether it's on the radio, on our podcast, or on our website, kereport.com, to join us. And I always appreciate everybody weighing in. One quick comment that I want to make is that there were some very interesting comments made this week on our website regarding a sponsor company, Novo Resources. I had the president and CEO, Quentin Henny. He will be joining me later on in this show. And I also had John Kaiser share his insights into the recent bulk sampling news. So please, everybody, check out those interviews. In the first segment, I am kicking off the show with Chris Temple, a regular contributor to our website, and I have to say one of our most valuable contributors. Chris, in this segment, and even as a add-on to the weekend show, we are going to talk about the potential of infrastructure spending and the potential of this concept helping out the general markets and economy. Before we get into the actual infrastructure talk, let's talk about how economies used to function, how growth used to be generated within an economy and how that's changed. Take it.
Well, Corey, in a not too distant future, and you'll know about this, of course, and we'll let the regular listeners and visitors to the KE Report know about this as well. I'm going to be announcing a series of webinars, and it's going to start off with what has been for over 30 years my signature presentation, as I call it, which is entitled Understanding the Game. And it helps people understand the way in which our fiat currency-based fractional reserve system works at its core and what that means and how you need to understand these truths, which really aren't hard to get your head around at all when you get right down to it, as you'll learn, folks. You need to understand these things to understand the motivations of bankers and politicians when they pitch different policies, and the need always to set policy based not always on what is best for the people, the electorate, and so forth, but on what is going to perpetuate the game. What is going to keep the banking system and this whole skyscraper of cards from imploding? Now, once upon a time, as you alluded to, in the old economy, and some of us are old enough to remember this, or at least the last days of this, we all understood that when it came to investing and when it came to finding opportunities, particularly in the stock market among companies and things like that, you first had to have a healthy, prosperous, underlying organic economy. In other words, what came first was that people created things, they built companies, they earned money. In the post-war era, the middle class enjoyed really one of the only times in this country's history, when you get right down to it, a steadily rising standard of living for the 50s through the 60s, started to run out of steam in the 70s in real terms. And it was based on all of those things and a growing middle class, a healthy economy, good spending, and all the rest of that stuff that you made investment decisions. And it was that underlying economy and the attributes of it that drove the financial markets. It also drove not only the stock market, but the debt markets. And depending on how creditworthy you were or were not, you might pay a little bit more interest to borrow money. You had a healthy savings rate. You had a healthy interest rate level for people to save. And again, things worked as they should. And really, incredibly, as a lot of people think they still do, or at least maybe should. But that all changed starting in the 1970s, Corey. And the first major change, of course, was when President Nixon decided that he was going to end what was left of the gold standard at that time. He unleashed Arthur Burns on the world, who was his Fed chairman and the predecessor for the real monetary mad scientist that came later, Alan Greenspan. And throughout most of the 70s, we saw a massive expansion in the money supply. And the dollar went down, commodity prices went up, and all the rest of this. And it caused all kinds of trouble. And it really was the transition. The 70s through the early 80s was a transition from that old economy that I just described to what we have today, which has turned the old order upside down to the point where today we have the monetary authorities, chiefly the Federal Reserve, that has to, quote, create prosperity in the form of ever more credit and ever more cheap money. And that hopefully trickles down to the economy, to consumers and so forth, and creates enough activity on their part, not so much to grow the economy, but to service the increased debt that has gone along with this whole regimen. Now, where this first started, and this is a story that many people have long since forgotten, but it's very instructive. People, some of them remember the Latin American credit crisis back in the late 70s and into the early 80s that was really more acute than anything we had here with our stagflation in the U.S. You had triple and even quadruple digit inflation rates, interest rates. These countries like Argentina, Bolivia, Brazil, and some of the rest were literally about to cease to exist as far as viable governments and financial entities to go along with them. And people were trying to figure out what to do. Now, at the same time that they had those issues and the bankers got together and tried to figure out how to fix this, you had something else that started to happen. And if you followed the right people and were members of organizations like Earth First and so forth, a very big subject at that time was how almost at the flip of a switch, there was massive deforestation in the Amazon. And in all of these countries that were having trouble paying their debts, you had huge chunks of land where you had rainforests cut down, you had roads being paved, you had services being brought in, you had land being made ready for corporate farms, long before there was the actual organic need for that kind of activity. And what a lot of people know, and what some people still haven't quite figured out, is that those two things, the credit crisis and this massive deforestation, went together. Now, folks, think about this. If any of you listening have ever owned land or have bought land, you know that its value is based on how close it is to being ready to build on or if it's building ready right now. Is it scrub brush with rainforest and, in the case of some of these countries, you know, flora and fauna and monkeys in the trees and all this kind of stuff? It's not good for a corporate farm, it's not good for a factory, it's not good for roads, or does this land have utilities and roads and so forth? And literally what happened to a very great extent that enabled the debts of these countries to be put off and managed was when big chunks of land were made ready for development and went up on paper by several times what they were. This made it possible for the Brady Bond Regimen, if those of you who remember that, the former Treasury Secretary Nicholas Brady helped to craft this regimen, where they were able, based on this increased collateral in these nations, to put together this deal to save South America and take the inflation and interest rates back down. And with that success, a light bulb went off everybody's head, you know, and they said, you know what, we can do this here too.
And, Chris, I'm going to have to jump in here because we are out of time for this segment, but we are going to continue this conversation on a special weekend special on our website, which I want people to visit and check out, because that's where Chris and I will actually discuss some of the infrastructure spending as well as some other tactics that we think are going to be utilized to increase maybe some economic activity, but give the central banks and the people in power the ability to continue to grow these bubbles. So everybody, please visit KEReport.com. Check out that weekend special for our continuation conversation.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
For those suffering from hearing loss, a typical morning may sound like this.
Hey, good morning.
But with an MD hearing aid, mornings could sound like this.
Hey, good morning.
Music with hearing loss may sound like this. With an MD hearing aid, if you or a loved one want to enjoy all the sounds you've been missing, you need to try the MD hearing aid. You can try it risk-free for 45 days. Just call 1-800-481-6532. MD Hearing Aid is an FDA-registered, audiologist-tested hearing aid, and at a savings of more than 80% off the average price of a traditional hearing aid, hearing clearly again is more affordable than you think. So instead of a muffled weather report,
chance of clouds and rain,
you could be hearing,
but it's looking sunny with warm temps into the weekend.
To hear what you've been missing for a fraction of the price, try the MD Hearing Aid risk-free for 45 days. Call 1-800-481-6532. Plus, you'll get free shipping and free batteries for a year. 1-800-481-6532.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the packed bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the second segment here on the weekend edition of the KE Report. Again, for anybody who wants to listen to that second half of the interview that I had with Chris Temple, in this segment, I do want to highlight a company that is a sponsor on the website that I am a shareholder of, and it's a company that I think has been front and center in the resource sector for at least the last couple months. We're chatting about Novo Resources. I have Dr. Quentin Henny on the line with me. He is the president and chairman of Novo. And Quentin, before we get into it, I do want to say that I did have a conversation with John Kaiser that was posted on our website on Wednesday, where John and I discussed Novo and the recent bulk sample results in about a 20-minute conversation. That is very much worth everybody's time, and I will have a link posted in the weekend show posting to that interview. Be sure to check that out. If anybody can't find it on our website, feel free to email me. I can easily send you the link. Quentin, that being said, it's always great to hear from you and to understand what's going on, first of all, with this Karratha Gold project. As I mentioned, the first bulk sample results hit the market on Tuesday. They were, in my eyes, very positive, in John's eyes, very positive. The market took positively to them. Can you give us the takeaway of what this then means for how you're going to be further exploring this fairly unique gold deposit?
Sure thing, Corey. Good to present this once again. It's a very exciting story. It is a challenge. It's a very interesting deposit. Little background, you know, for listeners who don't know what we're chasing here, we're looking for gold that's hosted by conglomerate. Conglomerate is old gravel that was laid down eons ago in either, you know, a river or oceanic environment, and the rock was then subsequently lithified, turned to rock, basically made into rock, and was capped at some point by lava. So this lava sheet came out over the top of it and actually preserved the whole horizon, which is really critical in this story. We have a challenge in our hands, though, because the gold is very nuggety. In a placer, in gravels, you would expect gold particles to be fairly coarse, and that's kind of what we're dealing with here. The gold grains, as people will see in our recent news release, that were extricated from the bulk sample, are fairly large. You know, we're talking about a few millimeters to a few, maybe even 3 or 4 centimeters across. These are flat plate-like nuggets that are trapped in this gravel. All right, so what we were doing with this bulk sampling exercise is grabbing some material so we could wrap our minds around how we're going to sample this, how we're going to analyze it, things like that. All right, so what we did is we took the bulk sample. It was we thought it was around 700 kilos. It turned out to be closer to 600, but, you know, when you're in the field, you take your best guess. But anyway, we took the sample down to a laboratory in Perth, called Nagarm Laboratories. It's a metallurgical laboratory. And they crushed the sample down. We put it through an ore sorting machine. This machine actually uses a combination of X-ray and induction coil to identify particles of rock that have gold nuggets in them. All right, so the machine can very, very quickly identify and select out rock that has particles of gold. So after putting it through the machine, we ended up with a small fraction, maybe around 2% of the total mass, ended up as being picked by the machine as having gold particles. And then the remaining fraction, 98% of the rock, we deemed as tailings. You know, tailings from the ore sorting machine were analyzed just like the concentrate, the mass that was pulled off. So we have a very good numbers now on both sets of fractions out of that rock, that bulk sample. Now, this is important. I'll tell you why. Is because the coarse fraction, yes, we know the gold ended up in there, but what's important is now we can quantify it. 85% of our gold ended up in that coarse fraction. That's remarkable. That means we can crush this material, put it through one of these machines, and the machine can literally just quickly sort the rock and concentrate 85% of the gold into just 2% of the mass. That's remarkable. Now, the other thing we learned is that the tailings from this exercise, these are rocks that were not identified by the machine as having gold, you know, gold particles. Those were assayed, and they still carry considerable gold, about 7 to 11 ppm, I believe, or a gram per ton. That's remarkable. Now, what that means is there is a fine-grained gold component in this system. This is our first hard evidence that we have not just the nuggety gold, but there's a fine-grained gold component that could be very useful going forward. Okay, so imagine now, we're looking at drilling, we're looking at trenching this thing. We've got to be able to assess in some way, shape, or form grade of the deposit. Well, if you drill a hole, you know, even a large diameter hole, which we're planning on doing, you know, the odds of hitting nuggets is kind of, you know, sketchy. Like it's a challenge. The nuggets are kind of scattered randomly through the conglomerates, and, you know, each drill hole could either hit something or miss something.
It would just be very inconsistent in that sense.
Yeah, but because we have this, you know, potential fine-grained component, you know, we have to study more about it, but it could actually help us stitch things together. So in holes that we, you know, quote, miss, as you said, maybe we're not going to miss because there is a fine-grained gold component, and we should see it at least in some respect, all right? So this is very valuable data. It'll help us tie things together and, you know, potentially, you know, make this job of defining a resource or even just basically wrapping our mind around this thing much easier.
Now, this fine-grained gold, this tailings that were sorted out, that's something that John did point to in our conversation because the grade there, even as you said, somewhere between 7 and 11 grams per ton, that's also very good grade for a resource that could have almost that cherry on top with the nugget effect. How then do you go about drilling out this project? Can it be more conventional exploration that can further de-risk this project?
Yeah, so we're still planning on the large diameter drilling. This would be large diameter RC drilling. The rig that we're looking at, I want to be very clear here because people are, you know, they come back to me with emails saying, oh, you know, you're going to get grade smearing and this and that. And look, we've looked into this quite heavily. So this rig is specifically used for drilling diamond deposits with similar attributes to what we're dealing with. Diamond deposits, you know, hosted by kimberlites, have random diamonds scattered through them, and you have to grab a bulk sample, which this rig can do, to assess the, you know, the number of carats per ton. In this case, we're not looking at carats per ton, we're looking at grams per ton, and we're trying to get gold particles, all right? So the approach is similar, though. This rig does produce a good recovery. We've talked with the company. It produces a clean material. It doesn't appear to smear things, and, you know, downhole contamination should not be a huge issue. You know, and then the other aspect of this exploration is trenching.
Unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment on the radio. To hear the full interview with Quentin Henning, please visit our website, kereport.com, and click on the Weekend Show posting.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issues, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text while driving.
Your logo is your brand, your reputation. It's your most valuable asset. So what's the best thing to do with it? Give it away. When the experts at Fort Imprint put your logo on the right promotional products, giving those items away can make a lasting impression, empower your brand, and attract new customers. In fact, we'll prove it by revealing the top three promotional items for driving new customers absolutely free. Simply text the keyword ACT88 to 642642. We don't just print your logo. We're here to help you every step of the way. The 4imprint team can make your logo shine on your choice of thousands of promotional items, all delivered on time at great prices with free art assistance and outstanding customer service that's second to none. Want to turn your logo into profit? Give it away. Discover the top three promotional items for driving new customers absolutely free by texting ACT88 to 642642. That's ACT88 to 642642.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am joined by Mark Chandler. He is the Global Head of Currency Strategy at Brown Brothers Harriman. He joins me on pretty much a weekly basis to outline moves that we're seeing in the currency markets as well as the U.S. equity markets. Mark also has a fantastic website called Mark to Market, and that initial Mark is spelled with a C, just like his first name. Mark, what I want to do in this segment is chat about Bitcoin, because there is constantly this debate between whether Bitcoin is a currency, if it is deviated from its initial plan, and quite frankly, if it is really even an investable sector, which I think a lot of people who invested early would say this is one of the best investments that I have made. I have friends that bought Bitcoin at around $30 a Bitcoin. They didn't buy many, but if you look at where it's trading now at over $3,000, boy, that looks like one of the best trades I could have gotten into. Wish that I had. But where do you stand when it comes to Bitcoin and the argument of is it or is it not a currency?
Yes, you know, I think Bitcoin is one of the fascinating developments, really, of post a great financial crisis. And I think that really speaks to people's desire for decentralization, suspicion among the elite. So I think this, the mere fact that it exists, I think, is like sociologically significant. But economically, interesting, but I think the blockchain technology behind the Bitcoin is what really survives. I think the Bitcoin Here's what I think the problem is, Corey, that people mistrust fiat currencies. That's the money that you and I have in our pockets. It's not backed by gold or silver the way it was for our grandparents. So central banks print off as much as they want, it seems. So we want an alternative to this paper, valueless money. On the other hand, we need to be able to use this other thing to be able to use this thing to be able to purchase our goods and services. And there's the contradiction with Bitcoin. If we want it as an alternative to the paper of money in our pocket that we fear may be worthless one day, then we want to hold on to the Bitcoins. But if we hold on to the Bitcoins, we're not going to use them to create that like critical mass of networking effect that turns these things into money. So that's why today it's more of a financial asset. It trades in the realm of circulation of capital. People don't so much use it. And this is an important distinction when we think about value or use value. There's use value, getting use out of something, buying a TV, buying a cell phone. And then there's exchange value. And the Bitcoin's value is just in its exchange, being able to sell it to somebody else. It's not in its use. And so I think that ultimately it's a nice fad. It's an interesting fad, I think, in Bitcoins. And there's, of course, the daily turnover of that cyber currency universe. Of course, Bitcoin is the largest, most famous of them. But there's, I want to say there's more than 24 of them.
There are a lot of cryptocurrencies. You're right.
Yep. And you speak about like an investment. And so, I often have to explain to friends and family about why what I do for a living is not gambling. And of course, sometimes it's hard to make that distinction. But one of the things that makes, at least my understanding of gambling and the markets, investing, different, is it's really about risk management. And so if you have Bitcoins, how do you really manage your risk? What are you holding them in? You're just betting on, you're gambling, betting on price appreciation rather than an interest stream that it can have, or rather than value that it can create, like a cure for cancer, or a service of providing book people who want to buy books with people who want to sell books. There's no service that the Bitcoin really provides. You can't really use it. And so I suspect that it'll be in this realm for me. And this, my book is, I wrote, that came out earlier this year called Political Economy of Tomorrow, talks about the challenge of our time being one of surplus capital, of really too much money. And that's what's depressing the price of it. I think that Bitcoins are a reflection of this surplus capital. People have so much money that what are they trying to do with it? Try to preserve its value away from government inflating or confiscating it.
So, Mark, in terms of this, what would change your mind when it comes to considering Bitcoin as a currency more so than anything else? It would, in my mind, would need to be accepted by a lot more people, but I don't even know how that would actually work without a whole big change.
Yeah, so I try to think about how can we define money? And of course, economists have money being a store of value, a unit of exchange. And so what can Bitcoins be? And so I think that for me, I'd say Bitcoins, I would accept that Bitcoins are money if a government, a serious government, would take them to retire one's tax obligations. So I had this comic book in which Clark Kent proposed to Lois Lane. Not Superman, but Clark Kent did. And when this comic book first hit the stands, it was like about $1.50, and it shoots up in like the black market, so to speak, to $20 a copy. I could have given it to a friend of mine to retire a debt I owed him. That would not make that comic book money. And so I think that if I could go give it to someone to take it, to retire an obligation, like the government, I think this is really a key measure of what it means to be money. So the government accept it to pay your taxes.
That's a good point. That would, I think, really change a lot of people's perception of Bitcoin. But then, Mark, what about the concept that China has been driving a lot of the moves in Bitcoin for people trying to get their money out of the country, being almost an underground investment or avenue to save some of their money and get it out of their currency system?
Yeah, you raise a good point. That is to say, the price of the Bitcoin has fluctuated quite a bit, though, of course, now it's on this big uptrend. And rule changes in other countries can influence the demand for Bitcoins. You mentioned China as a way to circumvent the capital controls that the government's put on. But there's also been rules, and for example, in Japan, they made Bitcoins then, because of a failure of one of the exchanges, they brought Bitcoins under a regulatory umbrella. And because it came under this regulatory umbrella, And then, of course, remember what India did last year? They got rid of, made people exchange the highest notes, which were about, say, $10, $15 notes. That was the highest value because inflation ate the value of them away. And so when India tried doing this, that might have also increased Bitcoin. So Bitcoin seemed to have increased Chinese demand, Japanese demand, Indian demand, plus the usual people who are looking for these kinds of vehicles for investing and trading. But again, it's hard for me to consider them investments when there's very little way to manage the risk one has. And this is what I really think separates oftentimes retail investors from institutional investors. It's the idea of the emphasis on risk management.
I guess that's a very good point. And there is a certain aspect of Bitcoin that confuses me from the investment standpoint, because there were issues back in the day with the exchanges that they were traded on. And from what I understand, this blockchain technology has helped satisfy some of those concerns. But when you technically don't have anything tangible, that does also speak to, let's say, people buying futures contracts that they never intend on taking delivery. So there is a bit of a similarity between some of the, let's say, investment vehicles out there currently and Bitcoin, are there not?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. The relationship between like the symbol, a value, and what's supposed to signify.
Yes.
It can be like, you're right. There's options on futures contracts, and there's options on options. So we can get very abstract. But I'm thinking about more of like when I buy a stock or I buy a currency, I typically have a stop in the market at the same time. I have a profit objective. I have a strategy. I might use options. I might hold my currency in an interest-bearing security. For example, that's the whole idea behind the carry trade, say buying Russian T-bills, for example, or Brazilian T-bills. And the advantage is you get the currency and you get the yield. I can understand how I can manage that, what the wager is. But I'm not sure what the wager, I'm not sure how to manage the risk with Bitcoin. So I do understand that there's going to be options soon. So maybe it's beginning, but it's still a very early process. I think a lot of people don't understand how to trade stock options, let alone these Bitcoin options.
Hey, Mark, it's great having you on our show, as always. Mark does join us on a regular basis. Go check out his website, Mark to Market. Thanks for your time, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
You want to save money in a place that gives you growth, control, and certainty without stock market risk or tax risk, and you want guarantees, and you want it all tax-free. That's a tall order. But you can get all of that with properly designed participating whole life insurance. Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But you can have tax-free access to use your life insurance while you're alive. Get the free book to find out how. Call 702-660-7000.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to cover your ears, because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be better than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to cover your ears now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt, too. You can resolve your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now. 1-800-660-1297. That's 1-800-660-1297. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297.
If there's a toxic chemical biological gas smoke emergency while traveling at home or on your job, are you protected? Are you prepared? There are over 400,000 fires in the USA every year. Up to 85% of all deaths in a fire are due to smoke inhalation. 3 minutes without air and we as humans will die. Be prepared and escape safely with our Safe Escape smoke hoods, giving you up to 60 minutes of breathable air protection. Order yours online at ase-safety.com. That's ase-safety.com. And get up to 40% off plus free shipping.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. In this segment, I am chatting with Peter Buchvar. He is the chief market analyst at the Lindsay Group. And Peter, I chat with you on a very regular basis. I also earlier in the week quoted an email, or actually a post from your website, bookreport.com, that talked about earnings season and how the markets have reacted. We will get into that. But before we do, I do have to ask you, what are your comments on the news stories that have been driving the markets this week regarding the saber-rattling between North Korea and the U.S., all this talk about war, some movements in the markets being down, a bit of a sell-off on risk-on assets, some of the safe havens getting a buy? How do you feel about war talk, geopolitics really driving markets?
I mean, historically, geopolitics matter for only a very short period of time, I think, because the irrationality of North Korea and the heightened rhetoric certainly has gotten people nervous, but it's impossible to game, it's impossible to figure out, it's impossible to trade off. So I think investors should try to look through it and really see that even if without North Korea, we're entering into potentially a more treacherous time for markets as we get into Jackson Hole meeting with Mario Draghi speaking and the Fed and the ECB meetings in September.
Now, Peter, I have been talking a lot about this whole war concept and the fear factor that has come into the markets, and I do very much agree with you. Usually these things are very short-lived, which is good because that means that we haven't been going to war or at least starting any new world wars in any significant degree. But then moving on from that, as I mentioned, you came out with this post regarding earnings season, which has been praised as being a positive earnings season and how the markets have reacted. But you're also seeing that companies that disappointed were hit quite hard in the markets. This is a bit different than we've been seeing over the past few years.
Yes. Well, let me start by answering the first part with respect to earnings. Yeah, so earnings relative to expectations, well, they always beat expectations by about 70%, give or take. And that we're finally seeing earnings growth again. Well, half the earnings growth in Q1 and Q2 was energy. So put that into perspective. And the rest of it was mostly big companies that benefited from strong overseas growth and the weaker dollar. If you're a domestic-based business, your earnings were much more mixed. And even so, we've priced in an earnings recovery
twice over already. People forget that in 2016, earnings growth was zero and the market rallied 10%. So then we may have earnings growth of 10% in 2017 and the market rallies another 10%. If you even go back to end of 2012, the stock market has rallied so much more than earnings, and the difference being multiple expansion. So when I hear that stocks are up because earnings are good, I don't think that really provides true perspective on what's going on.
Well, one thing to consider, especially when it comes to earnings estimates, is that these estimates seem to always get revised going into earnings so that they are beating these estimates, which I think goes to your point that 70% of the time, usually estimates are beat in the earnings aspect. But again, what this all talks to is more money being available in the system that continues to get injected into the financial markets. We have a few pretty big meetings coming up, the most important being Jackson Hole, Wyoming, where we even have Mario Draghi speaking. What are you going to be watching here? What do you think is important?
Everyone knows that the current ECB QE program ends at the end of December. Also, everyone knows it's going to get extended to next year. What we don't know are the details. And Mario Draghi has no choice but to tell us what the plan is for 2018, because why wait to the last minute to do that? So that's why September is the perfect ECB meeting to give us details about how the plan is going to be adjusted into 2018. So Jackson Hole, being about 2 weeks before that September meeting, is a perfect launching pad for what he's going to announce. Now, Mario Draghi honestly believes in what he's doing. He really thinks that QE saved the world and negative interest rates is the greatest thing. Therefore, he's not just going to walk away so aggressively from that. He's going to be very slow in removing accommodation. But he also has logistical challenges that he's running up against. He's running out of good bonds to buy. He's pissing off the Germans. He actually is seeing some creep up in inflation. So I do expect a further tapering. Maybe it starts in latter part of the year or January. But the problem he has is that he's got this huge bond bubble on his hands that is going to further unwind as he further tapers.
I've actually had some questions come in, Peter, that have asked me to ask our audience or ask our contributors, and I think you are one of the best people to ask about this, is what sort of coordination the central banks, the Fed, the ECB, the Bank of Japan, those are the main ones, could or should have in terms of going through this process of maybe unwinding their balance sheet, maybe tightening their monetary policies, but not all doing it at a certain rate together that ends up hurting everybody.
I don't see it happening. I mean, each of these countries want a weaker currency, and you can't really coordinate if everyone wants a weaker currency. I think each of these central banks are going to go their own way. I think they're all faced with the same challenges of failed policy. But there's one thing to have coordination when you're moving your benchmark interest rate. You raise it 25 basis points, you cut it 25 basis points. When you're so deep in the weeds in quantitative easing and maybe quantitative tightening with the Fed, and there's no coordination. How does the ECB or the Bank of Japan say to themselves, well, you know what, you only buy 40 billion euros a month and I'll buy this amount in yen. And it's logistically impossible when QE is on the table. Again, if it was just interest rates, maybe they can do something. I mean, we had coordinated rate cuts in the depths of the crisis in 2008-09. You know, that worked for a couple of days and then failed. So I think these central banks have gotten so in deep that now they're beginning to realize how difficult it is to get out, which means that they're trapped.
So it does come down to the fact that as much as they might want higher interest rates and to not be printing as much money as maybe they have been, they understand that if they take away all that easy money, that, hey, that might actually truly lead to that market collapse that a lot of the naysayers, the bears, have been predicting.
Well, I guess I can say this simply. If you're a bull here and Draghi does taper and the Fed does initiate QT, well, then you believe in free lunches. If you don't believe in free lunches, then you should be much more circumspect of this market.
So where does that leave investors then, Peter? Because the central banks have continued to kind of talk the markets in the way that, hey, we will be tightening our monetary policy. And we even saw the longer-term bond auction this week come off very weak when the shorter-term bond auction was kind of a with expectation. So investors are taking a little bit of note, aren't they?
Yes, they are, and as I think they should. But, you know, the S&Ps are still near record highs. Internally in the market, we're beginning to see some divergences. And one thing I forgot to talk about earlier on earnings, one of the main characteristics that I noticed of earnings season was, you know, even if you met or beat expectations, if it wasn't that great of an extent, your stock sold off. And if you did rally, you barely rallied. And I think investors were much less tolerant of any type of disappointments with earnings. So that tells me that maybe the realization is coming that people should adjust their risk profile, and that if multiple expansion was a major characteristic of the rebound in stocks, maybe multiple compression could be the reverse when central banks reverse themselves. I mean, the context with all of the things that we're discussing is a market that is wildly overvalued, historically speaking, therefore leaving it with little room for error. And we talked about earnings before, but on a price-to-sales ratio metric of the S&P 500, outside of 3 weeks in March 2000, this is the most expensive market of all time. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. So with that sort of backdrop, with growth in the U.S. mediocre and the Fed raising interest rates and shrinking their balance sheet, well, I think every investor should be looking themselves in the mirror and asking themselves, how exposed do they want to be?
Maybe, Peter, but hey, it's always great chatting with you. You, as I said, have a very valuable website, bookreport.com. That's B-O-O-C-K. I will also post a link to his website. But Peter, you're a valuable contributor. I always thank you very much for your time. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back with the second hour of the KE Report.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-510-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Is that Ellen painting her garage?
Yesterday she was trimming her hedges.
What's her secret?
I heard she was eating this new superberry called the Aronia berry.
Aronia? What?
Aronia berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where can we get them?
Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait. I've got lots of projects I need to get done.
Yes, you do.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Did you know children are 52 times more likely to suffer from identity theft than adults? Credit alerts will not fix the fallout. Liberty ID does, and here's an exciting offer just for you. Go to LibertyID.com and cover your entire family, your spouse, your children, and your parents for only $129 a year. Use promo code FREETRIAL and we'll give you the first 60 days free. That's LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL. LibertyID.com. LibertyID.com.